The views expressed at WTFlandia are not to direct, guide, or sway public opinion. For entertainment purposes only.
Damascus area. And what are they striking? What are the targets? Well, it's Iranian targets, mainly Hezbollah. Because here's the bottom line. Damascus has become a hub of terror that Iran and its proxies, particularly Hezbollah, are using to move weapons around to eventually use against the nation of Israel. Just over the past 18 months or so, we've seen over 50 Iranian cargo planes land at Damascus International Airport. And what do you think's on those planes, folks? You guessed correct. It's weapons. Weapons that they're using to distribute, again, in and around the Damascus area to build up an arsenal to use against the nation of Israel. The reason I keep sharing stories like this frequently about what's going on, because Damascus, it's almost showing up every week now with the airstrikes that are going on, or Iranian cargo planes landing at Damascus International Airport and shortly following airstrikes. The reason I'm bringing all this up is because in the book of Isaiah, chapter 17, verse 1, over 2,500 years ago, the prophet Isaiah records the following: "The burden of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap."
Good day. Good morning. Good morning. And actually, I'm just going to be honest. It's 2 a.m. on October the 7th, a Saturday morning. And I just happened to be on my way to bed. Hey, hi everyone. It's your host, Char Michelle. I hope you're well. I hope you're well. If you're tuned in right now, you're well, because you're tuning in. I don't know exactly your circumstances, but I'm praying that you are very well. Remember, we're here for a good time. Not a long one. And according to what's going on this morning, folks, I've got to jump right into it. That right there, you heard from my, one of my golden follows over there on the YouTube. His name is Watchman on the Wall 88, and he is got his ear to the button of Israel and very, very, very inclined to prophetic end times prophecy. And so listening to him, whenever I hear a word from him pop up on YouTube, I get excited. I'm not gonna lie. It's probably scary for some people, but for me, it's quite exciting, just because I know that these things must happen for, you know, the return of my Savior Jesus Christ to happen. So it's weird. It's to say it that way, to pitch it that way, but that I'm excited. But I am excited to be closer to seeing Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach. I'm not excited for war by any stretch. But I did a little poking around this morning before I decided to go to bed at 2 a.m. Well, the reason why I'm still up is because, honestly, there was some sort of argument outside, it seems like, and then I heard pop, 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 pop. Sound like a gunshot. Could have been firework. I don't know. I can't really tell these days. I didn't hear any ambulance, and I live off of a busy street, so I figured somebody else had to have heard that. Anyways, I think everyone's fine. Because then I went to sleep again. The same dingbats are arguing again and probably setting off fireworks. But it made me look on Instagram. I was looking for other things. But then I saw that my ex, or formerly known as Twitter, was up and active. And it said, just in, Israel has mounted a... Israel President Netanyahu declares state of war in address to Israel. They're in a state of war, guys. And what Watchmen on the Wall 88 just mentioned there is that this has been bubbling up for a while over in Damascus, near and in around. And this is very, 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 very prophetic, because this is holy time. This is why we're going to listen in a little bit further on what he has to say over there, and then I'm going to give you my thoughts thereafter.
So very clearly here, Isaiah is prophesying that there is a time coming when the city of Damascus will become a ruinous heap. It's going to be destroyed. Now, people like to say, oh, this prophecy has already been fulfilled. Well, no, it hasn't, because Damascus, as of today, is still habitable. There is parts of Damascus that are in very bad shape. However, Damascus itself is not a heap of ruins right now. This prophecy makes it very clear that something is going to occur that causes Damascus to become a heap of ruins. And when you go later on in Isaiah chapter 17, it actually tells you the timing of when it will be destroyed. In Isaiah chapter 17, verse 14, the prophet Isaiah records the following: "And behold, at eveningtide trouble, and before the morning he is not. This is the portion of them that spoil us, and the lot of them that rob us." So when you put it all together, Isaiah makes it very clear that something is going to occur that causes Damascus to become a ruinous heap, and it's something that is going to occur overnight.
Well, I'm not aware of what time this is happening in Israel, but this is happening in Israel. But I'm imagining that this would likely lead up to, because I do believe in the prophetic timeline of the Bible. It's the only thing I stick to. I'm going to be honest. I don't really dig into philosophy and other such readings. It's not my thing. Although it's okay to poke around and understand other vantage points. For me right now, this is the only way, the truth, and the life. And so I went to go check it out, and I went to the Toronto Star, and it says Hamas mounts unprecedented surprise attack on Israel, sending fighters and rockets into the country. Okay, I'm gonna just say, the militant Hamas rulers of Gaza Strip carried out an unprecedented multi-front attack on Israel at daybreak Saturday. This is in the middle of the night, firing thousands, not a couple, thousands of rockets as dozens of Hamas fighters infiltrated the heavily fortified border in several locations by air, land, sea, catching the country off guard on a major holiday. The Syrian invasion of Simech Torah revived painful memories of the 1973 war, particularly 50 years to the day in which Israel's enemies launched a surprise attack on Yom Kippur, which is what we are in today, Yom Kippur. Comparison to one of the most traumatic moments in Israeli history, sharpened criticism of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his far-right allies who have campaigned on more aggressive action against threats from Gaza. Political commentators lambasted the government over its failure to anticipate what appeared to be a Hamas attack, unseen in its level of planning and coordination. The Israeli Rescue Services said that its medics were tending to 16 casualties in southern Israel, including a woman in her 60s who was killed when a rocket fire from Gaza made a direct hit and two people in serious conditions. There were reports of many more casualties on both sides, but authorities did not immediately release details. Israeli media reported that dozens of people were hospitalized in southern Israel. The Palestine Health Ministry in Gaza reported injuries among many citizens without giving numbers, and loudspeakers of mosques broadcast prayers of mourning for killed militants. Israeli military struck targets in Gaza in response for over 2,000 rockets that sent air raid sirens wailing constantly as far as Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. It said its forces were engaged in gunfights with Hamas militants who had infiltrated Israel in at least 7 locations. The fighters have sneaked across the separation fence and invaded Israel through the air with paragliders, the army said. It's not immediately clear what prompted Hamas to launch this attack, which came after weeks of simmering tensions among the Gaza frontier. The shadowy leader of Hamas military wing, Mohammed Deif, announced the start of what he called Operation Alaska Storm. Enough is enough, he said in a recorded message. He called on Palestinians from East Jerusalem to northern Israel to join the fight. Today, people are regaining their revolution. So, may the wars begin. Now, here's my next question. I don't say that gingerly or, you know, in a laughing manner, but it's what we're looking at. And I wonder, besides the fact that it's extremely prophetic, and I'm telling you now, it shan't end well. We think we're in a fight over, Ukraine with Russia. I think this one's going to hit home a little different. I think this is going to hit home a little different because, well, again, it's in the biblical timeline of the end times. That is Prophet Isaiah prophesying that. And I urge you to read Isaiah through Revelation. I've been saying this on this podcast for quite some time now. If you want to get an idea of where we are today, biblically speaking, and the prophetic timeline, you need to dive into that. In fact, I was just going to start reading Genesis all the way through because I need to get quiet and hear from the Lord. I just, spiritually speaking, I need to rest in the Word, and that way I have an understanding more of what's going on in my life, just as a general rule. I think we need to be, as believers, Christ followers, we need to be submerged in Scripture. And I've been falling off the wagon a little bit. I swore today, talking to my friends, I had a play date. I cussed. I've been wrinkling my nose up at people. I'm eating good in the land of the living, and it seems like I've made a sharp U-turn. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I'm back on the right path. I can't. Thing is that I can't comfortably live in my old ways. I can't comfortably live in sin. So I'm just asking God for grace and mercy to keep me on the narrow path, which is it's difficult. Can be lonely, but it's very necessary to steer clear of, the sin in the world, and that doesn't mean you have to be overly religious and thumping the Bible at everybody. Look, if your dad's Michael Jordan, you don't need to jam that down people's throat. You just have to go for a father. That's how my God is, right? So anyways, I'm trying to figure out the right ways to approach people and spreading this very, very, very important truth. Jesus is King. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess, Ephesians 6:13, that Jesus Christ is Lord. So I'd rather share that truth with us now so that we have a little bit of a way to wiggle our way into salvation by getting saved through the blood of Jesus, but we'll get there. Let's hear a little bit more about what Watchman on the Wall 88 has to say about why this prophetic timeline is so important in what is actually happening tonight in the wee hours of the morning in Israel.
In Damascus, Syria. Now, how exactly is Damascus going to become a heap of ruins? I'm not going to be dogmatic about it and say I know 100% for sure. But what I can tell you is the Bible says that this is a prophecy that will be fulfilled. It has not been fulfilled yet. But when you connect the dots, again, Iran and its proxies have made Damascus a hub of terror, where they're moving all these weapons around, in and around the Damascus area. And we know Iran, they keep talking about how they're on the verge of having enough enriched uranium for several nuclear bombs now. So, and we know that they're sending all these cargo planes to Damascus International Airport. So most likely they're moving nuclear material around the Damascus area. And we know Bashar al-Assad, the president of Syria, has nuclear material in Damascus, Syria. And there's been generals that have come forth and said that there is nuclear material underground in Damascus, Syria. So, since you continue to have...
Oh, hold that thought. Welcome to WTFlandia Halftime Show. Press pause and go ahead and grab your favorite snack and your most tasty drink, and we'll meet you back here in just a few.
Strikes targeting Iranian targets in and around the Damascus area, and you continue to have Iranian cargo planes carrying weapons and possibly nuclear material to distribute in warehouses and other things around the Damascus area. It is only a matter of time before something gets hit that is not supposed to get hit, and this prophecy can be fulfilled. Here's the bottom line. It's only a matter of time before this prophecy that Isaiah prophesied over 2,500 years ago is going to be fulfilled. What we see happening right now is the shadow. Just like we see the shadow of the tribulation being cast on the earth right now, the Damascus prophecy shadow is being cast on the earth right here and right now. This is a prophecy that could be fulfilled at any time. And once the Damascus prophecy is fulfilled, it's going to be like a domino effect that leads to many others. All I can tell you, if you're watching this video right now and you do not have Jesus Christ in your life, just look around the world right now, everything occurring, and look at what your Bible says. You will see several things are true. The Bible is real. The Bible is alive. Jesus is real. Jesus is alive. And Jesus is coming back, and he is coming back one day, very, very, very soon.
No capaloni. No cap at all. It's facts. It's true. And I wish I could say that it's not true, but it's true. I'm very, very, very certain of one thing, that I have been so honored to been literally swept off of my feet by the knees with life circumstances and fallen into the righteous right hand of God, that I don't even know how I am where I am right now with this podcast microphone plugged up to my face, still alive, still kicking, still with hope, and maybe better off than I've been in my whole entire life. It's wild. So, I say that to say this, not to brag, but to kind of flex that I serve a good God. He's the father of Jesus, or as many of you know him, Yeshua HaMashiach. And this book, according to scripture in Luke, says every word is God-breathed and useful for teaching. Now, I know that people say King James, he was a racist. And he probably most certainly was. He was a creep. He was a pedophile. He was this. He was that. He probably was all those things. Because mankind, not just men with, not just biologically speaking men. Don't go there. But just mankind, meaning human flesh. We're damaged goods. I mean, we got our father. We got God so upset that he just wanted to annihilate everybody, except for a couple of folks. He's like, you know what, Noah, you're listening. I'll save you and your family. Everybody else got to go. This is a mess. Well, this second shaking is gonna come, and it's gonna make everybody aware that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what's going to happen. Because Ephesians, remember? It's not going to be the alien invasion that everyone's talking about. It's not going to be that Project Blue Beams. We're seeing Elon Musk's, stuff flying through the sky at all hours. There's all these weird weather patterns. That's also prophetic. Even if, in fact, it is some of it man-made. Isaiah didn't say there's going to be bombs roaring through the sky. He said chariots of fire. He was, speaking about what he saw in his time. Chariots of fire would have been, he wouldn't have seen nuclear warheads, right? Keep an eye open, folks. The end is nigh. More nigh than it were before. And I would not be doing us a favor if I did not say, if you have not yet if you have not yet professed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you in this very moment to do so. And you're not going to do that just because, I'm saying that. You need to read about who this amazing human being is, and you'll find that he created you and me. Humbled himself, came to earth as man. It sounds wild, but truth is stranger than fiction. Look at where we are these days. And you're going to find out the truth. And the truth is going to set a lot of us free. But here's how. Here's how the truth is going to set us free. Because when we see this war take place, which Israel does have some allies, don't they? Who are their allies? Do you think that they're going to go out without getting their friends involved? This is where you have to do your research portion of the game. Who are Israel's friends? Could it be the modern day Babylon? Oh, America, my goodness. She is kicking up funk. I will share this before we get into that declaration that I really, really, really hope you take seriously. My 11-year-old, I spoke about this in the podcast before this, you guys. If you haven't had a chance, I know this is a more serious one, somber one. Please do check out some of the podcasts that are just underneath this. And have a listen. But I did speak about my kid having a dream. He woke up just the other night, or the other morning, and said, "Hey, Mom, I had a really crazy dream. I said, "Well, what was that, Epic?" He said, "Well, I had a dream that there was two presidents in America, and there was a vote, and there was two presidents, and they were going up, and one of them fell off their chair." So it was like one of those. So I was like, "Well, what? How does this make sense?" It's like, you know, those chairs that take you up the stairs. I'm thinking it's an elderly fellow that needs a little lift. So he goes up the stairs and he falls over, and he goes, and it was kind of funny. I thought, man, wow, someone's gonna get kicked off the throne. I'm seeing things in the spiritual, right? That was the first thought. Okay, that's interesting. I said, continue on. And he said, and all of a sudden there was a nuclear attack on America. And my brother and I went into this metal capsule. And so we were safe. And that's all. I woke up, Mom. I said, "Well, where was I? Where was me and your sister, boy?" But all jokes aside, there's also scripture in the Bible that says, in the end, in the last days, young men will dream dreams and old men will see visions. And I'm just looking it up right now, the scripture, so I can. Joel, Acts 2:17. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." God is speaking to his children. I would not take that dream lightly. Epic has had dreams. He's a dreamer. They're highly prophetic. I have had dreams. End time dreams. Recently. My other son has had end time dreams. If I were to say it, you would think, wow, that's just a dream. I beg to differ, because again, if you recall, I do follow the Bible tooth and nail, and prophetic timelines are still being met. And as long as we're still alive, we're still meeting those prophetic timelines. So I'm thinking that, again, truth is stranger than fiction, but the truth is that the prophecy has to be lived out. I'm hoping that whoever's listening to this is not listening to this after Jesus has raptured up his church. I really pray. I pray that none of us are traversing around during tribulations, which is 7 years of pure H-E double hockey sticks. It's when the praying people, it's when the Christ-following praying people who are interceding and talking to God about just, "Lord, heal this land, heal this country, give this president, this prime minister better direction, better instruction," who are praying on their knees night after night, day after day, speaking in tongues, inviting the Holy Spirit in to bless neighborhoods and bless homes and heal people who are sick. Well, those people will be raptured up. Nobody knows the time or the hour when the Son of Man will return. I'm just going to look that up so we can... The time. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. It's Google for you. Matthew 24:36 says, no one knows the day or the hour, but of that day, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. God's going to say, just like, you know, when you put it, when the coach wants to put their player out there on the field, no one knows on that line. Usually it's just bad play happens. All right, get in there. Right at the right time, coach is going to send that player in because it's time. It's go time. So think of it that way. God's going to say, all right, Jesus, it's your time. Go down there and get my people. Go get your brothers and sisters. And then Bible also calls his children salt of the earth. But what good is the salt if it loses its taste? Also, what happens with salt? Salt is a mechanism for purifying, for curing, from keeping things from spoiling. What happens when the salt leaves the earth? You guessed it. Things are deemed to spoil, aren't they? So, I say that to say this. That 7 years is going to be a time where if you are not a believer, you will need to somehow avoid getting the mark of the beast. Avoid following every good thing that's going to even keep you kind of happy. This is going to be the most worst time in history of anything. I think the only thing that might make you feel good is drugs or sex, and that's going to lead you to hell as well. Because of the torment that will, you know, come from all of this. The Antichrist is going to roll up on the scene at any second as well, making order out of chaos. Look out for him. Oh, he's going to be a charming fella, coming with godlike qualities. Careful. Do not be deceived. The only person that can save you is alive, well, and kicking and waiting to come and rapture up his bride. And his name is Jesus. And after the rapture, there's still a chance for salvation. You just have to fight the evils and call upon the name of Jesus and get salvation. So let's do it now. Hopefully we hear this before, because no one knows the time or the hour. It can happen at any time. But if this world is crazy enough for you, why not be crazy enough to believe that a God came from heaven? The King of all kings, the one who breathed, spoke everything into existence. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He said, let there be light. And then there was light. He spoke life into existence. He wove you together in your mother's womb. He knows the amount of hairs on your head. This is a person I want to meet personally, and just to say thank you. I actually had the gall to say, Lord, I need to have a sit down with you today. God, we need to talk. And then I said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be rude, but I need some good guidance. I'm tipping over here, and I can't tip over. I need to be on the righteous path. That's the only thing I look. Maybe 2 years ago, I wouldn't. No, maybe 3 years ago or more, I wouldn't dare come up and talk about Jesus as much. I'd think that people would think I was crazy. I could care less what you people think. I only care that you think that Jesus died for you and that he conquered death, rose again, rose up from that grave, and is alive and is waiting to come rescue you. That's all I care that you know and think about me. And that you right now fall at the feet of Jesus. You can just fall out your bed, or you can just lay in your bed and pray. But I hope that you know that he didn't just die for me because I'm cute. He died for you because you're cute too, in your own way. No, he came to so that we could experience life, everlasting life. Because he knew that this stuff was going to happen. God knew that this stuff was going to happen. So he needed to humble himself and come as a man in flesh, suffer death, when he knew he could have snapped himself out. And like, nah, I'm not going to do this. I'm God. I don't have to do this. But he did it so that his actions can connect with our faith. And don't you dare call Jesus just a prophet. John 10:30 begs to differ. I and the Father are one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is God's spirit, which he left here after Jesus rose from the dead so that we can be in communication with God. It's really cool. It's a lot. You have to really dive in for yourself. It's a master class, but I'm just giving you the briefing. I'm hoping that even just lures your heart into knowing that, wow, somebody cared about you that enough to knowing that he didn't need to die, that he could have just not. He already had enough with us. He already had enough of us human beings. But he still died and rose again so that we could live. I mean, that is pretty spectacular, pretty selfless, absolutely amazing. And I'm honored to be his daughter. Because in the coming days, weeks, and months, it's about to get nuclear, in my opinion, I think. It's about to get crazy. And hey, we're witnessing a lot of people running around doing concerts and seance and witchcraft in every arena from here to Timbuktu. Guard your eye and your ear gates, people. Don't listen to music that is sending you to hell. Period. We're also in a very, very demonic time. It's this Halloween-y. I'm a horror movie fanatic, self-proclaimed. This is where witchcraft is at an all-time high. Protect your children. Don't go trick-or-treating. Witches do practice witchcraft over candy. And not everybody's your friend. I'm saying not everybody practices witchcraft over candy. Some people just giving it out as well, so there's that. But have discernment. And if you're going to align yourself with Jesus, who came to free us from all that, then maybe don't participate. I participated a lot of years in things that are definitely not something that Jesus wanted me to participate, that God wanted me to participate in. But he knew I would. So he sent his son Jesus to die so that I could ask for forgiveness, repent of those sins, and actually walk away from them and try my darndest to stay on the narrow path. It ain't easy. I still trip every day. But I repent. Lord, please forgive me. And when you repent and you actually mean it and you're on that, you're trying to walk on the narrow path, you sin less. It's a byproduct of it. The Holy Spirit doesn't like to live in a sooty body. You invite the Holy Spirit in, your life will get better. I can actually, when I'm done, speaking to you guys on this thing, I can actually turn my phone off and go to sleep in peace, knowing that God knew the beginning from the end. I don't have to worry about it. Whatever happens in my life, God has already okayed it. He's already had it in the plans. So let's get to that prayer. There's a prayer I wanted to share with you guys, because God knows what's going to happen in your life. It's been in the plan. It's been in the plan since the beginning of time. But if you have not given your life to Christ, I just want to share this prayer with you so that hopefully you can repeat it. You can let it sit with you and you can say, God, I don't know what's going on. This is crazy. But I don't want to go to hell, and I don't want to be left behind when what your daughter's talking about, Charmaine Michelle's talking about, the church, Jesus is going to come rapture up the church, and these people are going to go disappearing. I'm going to be in here and spoiling because no salt, and yeah, it's weird. Well, I need to follow you. Say this prayer. Lord Jesus, and you can pause by any time, by if you need to time to think about this, and to just pause it right now and say, Lord, I want to know you better. I want to believe that Jesus, Yeshua, died. You came as a man, died on a cross, overcame the cross so that I can live. Now, I'm all in. I want to be saved. I know that sin feels good. I know I smoke. I know I drink. I know whatever your vice is that, you know, you've become comfortable with, but you know it ain't right. Say, I want to leave that behind, and it's not going to be easy, but I want to live in a life of in eternity with no hellfire, with no depravity. Sulfur, soot, and darkness. That's going to be hell. It is not going to be cute. And it will not be a concert that Travis Scott is orchestrating all day and night. It ain't going to be cute. Or whoever your favorite artist that is aligned with the devil. You don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. Say, I don't want to be there. I want to be with you. And I know that I'm not perfect. So, please, I'm going to say this prayer, but show me what I need to do, please. Okay, so you can pause it now, or you can just say this prayer. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I believe you died for my sins and rose from death to life, so that I could be forgiven and live a more blessed and protected life. Please send your angels to guard me, God. I receive your Son, Jesus, as my King, my brother, my Lord, and my Savior. Baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Thank you for sacrificing your life on that cross for mine, Yeshua. Holy Spirit, please join me on my walk with Christ, giving me spiritual discernment from right and wrong. And please allow me to lead others to come to know who God is through your sacrifice on that cross, Jesus. This I pray honestly and urgently in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. And say, I repent. I repent. I repent for every wrong I've done. I want to leave it all behind right now. I want to be washed in your blood. I want to be seen without spot and blemish by God, your Father. In the name of Jesus. Amen. If you said that prayer, I do believe that you have professed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that you, my friend, if Jesus were to come back right now, you would be salt. I really believe that. And I pray for this world. I pray that more people, if you have gotten to this point in the podcast, you're a G. I love you and I appreciate you. Please share this podcast far and wide with as many people as you can, because Jesus is coming and he's coming back very, very soon. These are the birthing pains that are speeding up to birth. Jesus is coming. Yeshua is coming. Later.
אזרחי ישראל, אנחנו במלחמה. לא במבצע, לא בסבבים, במלחמה. הבוקר חמאס פתח במתקפת פתע רצחנית נגד מדינת ישראל ונגד אזרחיה. אנחנו בתוך זה משעות הבוקר המוקדמות. כינסתי את ראשי מערכת הביטחון, הנחיתי קודם כל לטהר את היישובים מהמחבלים שחדרו פנימה. הפעולה הזאת מתבצעת בשעות הללו. במקביל הוריתי לבצע גיוס מילואים נרחב ולהשיב מלחמה שערה בעוצמה ובהיקף שהאויב לא הכיר. האויב ישלם מחיר שהוא לא ידע כמותו. אני קורא בינתיים לכל אזרחי ישראל להישמע בקפדנות להנחיות הצבא, להנחיות פיקוד העורף. אנחנו במלחמה ואנחנו ננצח בה.
By assessing this podcast, I acknowledge that the entire contents and design of this podcast are the property of WTF Landia Radio, or used by WTF Landia Radio with permission, and are protected under U.S. and international copyright and trademark laws. Except as otherwise provided herein, users of this podcast may save and use information contained in the podcast only for personal or non-commercial educational purposes, no other use, including without limitation, reproduction, retransmission, or editing of this podcast may be made without the prior written permission of WTF Landia Radio, which may be requested by contacting WTF Landia Radio. By assessing this podcast, I acknowledge that the WTF Landia Radio makes no warranty, guarantee, or representation as to the accuracy or sufficiency of the information featured in this podcast. The information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only, and any reliance on this information provided in the podcast is done at your own risk. This podcast should not be considered professional advice unless stated otherwise. The WTF Landia Radio Group does not endorse, approve, recommend, or certify any information, product, process, service, or organization presented or mentioned in this podcast. And information from this podcast should not be referenced in any way to imply such approval or endorsement. The third-party materials or content of any third-party site referenced in this podcast do not necessarily reflect the opinions, standards, or policies of WTF Landia Radio. WTF Landia Radio assumes no responsibility or liability for the accuracy or completeness of the content contained in third-party materials or on third-party sites referenced in this podcast, or the compliance with the applicable laws of such materials and or links referenced herein. Moreover, WTF Landia Radio makes no warranty that this podcast or the server that makes it available is free of viruses, worms, or other elements or codes that manifest contaminating or destructive properties. WTF Landia Radio expressly disclaims any and all liability or responsibility for any direct, indirect, incidental, special, consequential, or other damages arising out of any individual's use of reference to this, reliance on, or inability to use this podcast or the information presented in this podcast.